Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans. And it's the first day of October.
We've made it to October.
Right.
And for those of you, not that anybody watching this program would have the slightest interest in Cambridge elections. Ha ha.
Yeah. Coming up, what, we have five weeks?
Five weeks to go.
But that's right, it's a Tuesday. It's the election, 30, November.
35 little days.
November 5th or 6th?
What? November 5th.
Is it a 5th?
Right. Unless you're a candidate who I dislike, which case, everybody, don't forget to vote November 6th. No, it's November 5th, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've actually seen people do that, actually. Yeah. And send out a postcard, don't forget to vote, and they give you the date after the election.
So, And we're here even though there wasn't a city council meeting, because there's actually lots to talk about.
Definitely lots to talk
about. Not just city politics, but we are going to look at that, because it's sort of interesting. It's a nice breather after the national politics, right? Let's just go into our own backyard, right?
True.
Yeah, we're not impeaching anyone, right?
Right, we're unimpeachable.
Unimpeachable,
yeah,
okay.
That's it, right? So I think one thing we actually did chat about a bit last week was the fact that there was some words starting to leak out about endorsements from some of these either
existing and emerging
PACs political and so, entities. Yeah. You know, even that is kind of a curious thing because, you know, somebody was actually asking me, you know, what is the requirements in terms of if you want to actually raise and spend money? Mm-hmm. And I'm not the expert, believe it or not, I'm not the expert in this, but I know a fair amount about it. But, you know, I did point out that, and again, if somebody has better information, please let me know. But they're in, from 1945 until the early 2000s, the Cambridge Civic Association endorsed candidates in every municipal election. Mm-hmm. Money was raised, money was spent.
As a slate, as a group?
Yes, they always
They were a nonprofit?
It was, well.
They weren't they didn't have PACs then, did they?
Well, no, but the thing is that there were actually disclosure requirements going back a long, long way, but things got kind of formalized as you headed in more toward the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm. And with every passing year, it seems like the reporting requirements and mechanisms, especially in the fact that you can file online all the, you know.
True, yeah.
I think only cities that have population in excess of 100,000 are city council candidates are required to have depository bank accounts so that
there's twice
a month reporting. So yeah, for weasels like me, it's kind of easy to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you just go on the internets and woo.
And what is that under? Is that under an office
of campaign and political finance?
Wow.
You know, and it's pretty easy to navigate. And actually, they've improved the tool really well. So it's honestly, it just makes my job easy.
You can see any city in the Commonwealth, fits that criteria.
Any candidate, and actually some of the political action committees also are required to have depository
accounts. Well, that makes sense, because they're raising money, and it's a political action committee. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only candidates who are not required to are people who choose to raise no money and spend no money on their campaigns. Hmm. Typically, these are issue candidates, but it's also just people who just are acting out, let's face it.
Hmm. Right? There are a few of them.
Yeah, and they always still are. Always are. So anyway, so we do have, so the Cambridge Civic Association for, you know, 60 years basically existed as an informal association. They were not registered with the state. They were never incorporated. They were never a 501c3 or a 501c4 or any 501c anything, as far as I can tell. Mm. How I found out about this is an interesting story for another day, perhaps, having to do with a practical joke. But the thing is, what they would do is, if I remember this correctly, is that on the month leading up to the municipal election, their executive director, who was paid for out of the organization, would basically switch hats and become the director of the campaign, right? Hmm. And then any money that was donated to the Cambridge Civic Association was not available to the campaign. But you could write checks to the CCA election committee or something like that.
So they did keep it separate.
I think you just had to keep it separate, but it's not like you had to, the filing requirements were pretty minimal. You just had to show the books if somebody asked, I guess. So now you've got organizations like this group that calls itself A Better Cambridge, which
started as a Yes in My Backyard kind of group as a non...
Well, actually, ABC started out as a group promoting higher density and transit-oriented development.
And this was in the election previously or even before that?
But
No, but when did it start? Was it 2013 or 15? At least
4 years ago.
So 15 election?
At least two election cycles. Okay. It could even be another. But the thing is you know, they were kind of ramping up. And I think because of the disclosure requirements that exist today, mm-hmm. They didn't, you know, yes, they were promoting a slate of candidates, but mm-hmm. they kind of finessed it. You know, mm-hmm. they sort of say, well, we did a ranking system and these are the ones who were ranked most highly. Mm-hmm. In other words, these are the ones we're telling you to vote for.
Yeah.
Right. And they photographed themselves together. Actually, I think was it Leland Cheung organized something called the Unity Slate, which was effectively the same thing some years ago. But the thing is I think ABC raised issues with the Cambridge Residents Alliance. Mm. Actually, not just ABC. I think Craig Kelly did, too, about dark money in politics.
That ABC was?
Well, I think it was Residents Alliance. If you're a 501c4 and mm-hmm. you raise money, you don't have to disclose things thoroughly.
Okay.
So the question was, well, where's the money coming from? And then, of course, there's all sorts of suspicious theories coming up. Mm-hmm. About that. So anyway, maybe to deflect potential future criticism, ABC formed its separate entity, which was called a Better Cambridge Action Fund.
Which is like a PAC.
Which is a PAC. Right. It's listed, PAC, right. Filed least, with the state okay. as a political action committee.
Are they the only one that actually is a PAC?
No. Oh, so okay. so then they started raising money, mm-hmm. rather substantial amount of money, actually. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of finessing it in the sense that they're saying that, oh, no, it's not a Better Cambridge that's endorsing these candidates, these nine candidates.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the Action Fund. But come on, it's seriously, the organization.
Okay, but so.
No, it's, right. No, it meets the minimal legal requirements, I guess that's all matters.
It's open. I mean, you see what they're about, and these are the candidates. I don't find that at all.
Well, so the thing is now the Cambridge Residents Alliance, which is sort of the flip side. You know, I don't even know
more
why.
More grassrootsy, kind of. I mean, I don't know. I just associate with
different
people that, you know, just live here. They don't necessarily work for these developers. You know, they don't.
My feeling is that, I'll say it as a person who was often outspoken against the Residents Alliance. I'd have to say that, by and large, most of the people affiliated with them are very well rooted mm-hmm. in Cambridge over many years, whether I agree with them or not.
Which gives them a sort of gravitas that allows.
So they are on average mm-hmm. a bit older.
Yes.
And they've sort of been through a lot of different issues over the years.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd have to say your typical ABC person is sort of a millennial person, maybe somebody who's concerned about wanting to be able to buy or rent affordably in Cambridge.
There are some older but people, typically Democratic professional. Activists that are in there. I mean
some. Yeah.
Forget they live on Norfolk Street. They're pretty.
Right. So, is Lee?
Not Lee.
No. She's with Residents Alliance. Anyway. So the thing is that I did notice some months ago that the Jonathan King, who's one of the founders of the Cambridge Residents Alliance, filed the paperwork to create something called Democracy for Cambridge or something like that, political action committee, and it explicitly says in the filing this is being done. Basically to promote candidates and a slate of candidates in conjunction with the Cambridge Residents Alliance.
Okay, but they're not in here yet.
They're not in there. Well, they are definitely, I'm tracking them with the, but the thing is they haven't raised much money. They raised $100.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Whereas, you know, the ABC group has raised many thousands of dollars and they're spending thousands of dollars currently and will spend a lot of money.
But the more established have been,
Well, the Residents Alliance
can reach out beyond just the neighborhood.
Residents Alliance predates them. They will loudly deny this, but a Better Cambridge group was created in response to the Residents Alliance.
Alliance. I mean,
Residents Alliance was formed
later,
I would argue it's kind of like a spin-off of the.
Yeah. Jan Devereaux was the candidate.
Right.
The,
So she and a few others formed the Fresh Pond Residents Alliance. And then, within one election cycle, she was then a candidate and was elected. So, there have been these camps, I think it's fair to say. But there are these other groups, too. Like, there's the Sanders people from Our Revolution formed their little chapter, Our Revolution
Cambridge.
Because
that's a national group, right?
Right. And honestly... I'm sure I recognize, if I look hard, I'll recognize a person or two, but for the most part, I don't know any of those people. Mm-hmm. The only person I know who's affiliated with is this state representative, Connolly, who's a Sanders, total Sanders acolyte, mm-hmm. right? So so many people believe, I believe, that our Revolution Cambridge is largely the political organization for Mike Connolly. Right, but on the other hand, Mike Connolly is also the tenant of Nancy Ryan, who's one of the founders of Cambridge Residents Alliance.
So, oh, he lives in that.
Yes.
In that, her,
yeah, it's
I
her
didn't
tent.
Know that.
Yeah. So, so it's interesting when these candidate endorsements came out. Now, I want to emphasize here that you know I think it's interesting to look at this, but voters, bottom line, decide for yourself.
Why don't you show this?
This is advice, you know. So here we go. So I think the first one I heard about was the A Better Cambridge group, right? So that was Burhan Azim, Ilana Mallon, Mark McGovern, Risa Metnick, Adrian Musgrave, Sumbul Siddiqui, Denise Simmons, Jeevan, Sabrina Wheeler.
Rhymes with Stephen, Jeevan.
Rhymes with Stephen. Tim Toomey, right? So that's
yeah.
nine of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word started leaking out about somebody proudly saying they've been endorsed by Our Revolution Cambridge. I said, really?
Hmm.
Are you going to let us know who the others are? And then somebody did let us know who the others are.
Oh, right. I remember seeing that. Too.
Right.
Yeah.
So their slate. So mm-hmm. there were nine with A Better Cambridge. There are seven with the Revolution
and
group.
One is the same name there. Interesting.
Right. But their names were Dennis Carlone,
mm-hmm.
who was an endorsed.
Deal
with that. Mm-hmm. Charles Franklin, Patty Nolan, mm-hmm. Ben Simon, Jeevan,
mm-hmm.
Jeevan as in Stephen, Sabrina yeah. Wheeler, Nicola Williams, and Quentin Zonder. And notice
right.
that there's not a hell of a lot of intersection, but Jeevan, Sabrina Wheeler.
There is some intersection
is,
there.
Right? That's kind of a curiosity in
yeah.
itself, right?
Yeah.
Then a little bit later, which really for me was just maybe 2-3 days ago, I got wind of, I think it was when our Patty Nolan was with the Residents Alliance and Nicola Williams was with the Residents Alliance,
mm-hmm.
got their endorsement. Then there was a photograph I think I saw somewhere, and I said, hey, which slate is this? I kind of thought
mm-hmm.
it was them.
Yeah.
So that was Dennis Carlone, Charles Franklin,
mm-hmm.
Risa Metnick, Patty Nolan,
mm-hmm.
Jeevan, Sabrina Wheeler, Nicola Williams, and Quentin Zonneva. Notice that
yeah,
the
Risa
Revolution,
Metnick. Oh, yeah.
you know, and Cambridge Residents Alliance, or as I like to call it, if Residents Alliance is Nancy's slate and our Revolution is Mike Connolly's slate.
They're very similar, though, except names.
It's the landlady and the tenant, basically. And the only difference was that Ben Simon, who I far as I can tell is kind of left of Lenin, shows up on the revolutionaries.
Yeah, but Risa Mednick is not on the Our Revolution, but she is
right.
on A Better Cambridge.
But
so she's another one of these crossovers
right.
that is interesting.
Yeah. Jeevan and Sabrina Wheeler is
and
like
he's
right
on
across
all three.
The board.
Well,
right?
I would say the first Our Revolution and Cambridge Residents Alliance
right.
are more alike than A Better Cambridge.
Right.
So how do you explain the Risa Mednick then?
Well, you know,
maybe she's just reasonable and
she,
sort of open
I
to things.
I think she's a reasonable person, but
yeah.
the thing is that one of the, and again, this is, I'm going to sound a little harsh, but I'm going to say
right.
it anyway.
Say it.
Is that, because I remember back in the days of the Cambridge Civic Association,
mm-hmm.
the thing is that they may have put out a slate of, like on ABC, of nine equals.
Yeah.
And we're not favoring any one over the other, they may say, but in truth, these slates do serve the purpose of helping to reinsure the re-election of some of their favored incumbents.
Well, Dennis and Jan was still running, she'd be in one of these
right.
lists.
And if
too.
You could, if you can pick up a seat, then certainly there are people in the list who are there for that reason. And then there are others who are we used to call feeders.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know who's a feeder or who's
yeah.
a somebody there are is a hopeful here. But the thing is that I think some of the people that you see on multiple slates may be in there
mm-hmm.
because, not necessarily because they're hoping and praying that they're going to get elected, but though they might, but if they're not elected, I think each of these organizations would like to have those votes transferred to them and okay. their other candidates.
So there's two things we should talk about here. Was this made up after the Sullivan Courthouse?
All right. So
Sumbel would have been on at least the CRA.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. Last 2 years ago, Sumbel mm-hmm. Siddiqui, as a new candidate, mm-hmm. was endorsed by the revolutionaries. When mm-hmm. you know, if you remember, when Bernie right. Sanders helicoptered into town to,
right,
exactly. to bless his children.
Right. Right.
And then the Residents Alliance, she was very much a sort mm-hmm. of a central figure there. So I actually asked mm-hmm. The residents, you know, somebody who was there somewhat involved with, or maybe involved with one of the candidates who got the blessing of the mm-hmm. Residents Alliance, well, mm-hmm. why isn't Sumbel Siddiqui there? Mm-hmm. And they said flat out, the courthouse vote.
Yeah.
Just the wow. courthouse vote.
And now, okay.
So we can talk about that a little bit more.
And then Craig Kelly's not on anything.
Well, interestingly, okay. there are three candidates who, in mm. my opinion, are very substantial candidates mm. who are not on any of these lists yet. Now,
well, I would agree with two of them. I don't know about the other.
They have to say, though, that the Cambridge Citizens Coalition, which is an emergent
this
group.
This is this one, which is duly
right,
determined.
Which is basically trying to model itself after the original Cambridge Civic Association.
They're trying to be more of the moderates, I think,
I think they're going to do that, but they do have a point of view on the overlay,
yeah.
right? But the thing is, so they're having their candidate form, I believe, this Saturday or Sunday.
Really? I thought that,
yep.
okay.
Yeah, and up at Leslie Washburn Auditorium.
The Sunday night one? Is that them?
I think it's one, yeah, it's in the afternoon, I think, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I will take a look in a sec, but the yeah. thing is that I imagine they'll endorse some of the
so
other
the ones
candidates
that are not,
who are not
on here.
Listed there, right? But, so anyway,
okay.
So let's just to sort of
so,
reprove our
okay,
existence
so
here.
So you think, okay, well, I'm just curious
so,
that...
So I'm... Yeah, I mean, already there's a certain amount of blowback from
yeah.
this sort of dissing of Sumbel Siddiqui.
Yeah, oh, a lot big
right.
blowback.
Now,
yeah.
you know, now...
People don't, yeah,
I mean,
it was this article.
I don't support candidates who are for yeah. the overlay, but the yeah. thing is that I think she's a credible
yeah.
stand-up person, and, you know, to kind of ditch Sumbel Siddiqui, who's...
Well, it was this article. Do you know, have you followed this person?
I know who he is for a long
time. All
right,
I never knew. I don't think this. All
right,
you can
yeah.
do the background
right.
there.
So the thing is that there were people sort of taking sides on this First Street Garage
yeah.
arrangement that would have provided the parking to facilitate moving ahead on the Sullivan Courthouse renovation.
5
okay?
o'clock, by the way, this Sunday.
Right.
Sunday. Okay.
So it came down to a vote, and the... You know, the way I look at it, say it took six votes, there were six votes. I don't weigh one over the other, but many people view Sumbel Siddiqui as the swing vote, because I guess, practically speaking, she was.
And as soon as
the vote happened, I think Jan Devereaux took a few shots at her. You mm-hmm. know, like, I love you very much, but
yeah.
you blew it, kind of a blog post she put out.
Mm.
And then came out this article here. Which
so
is
that,
is,
oh, and he refers to
so
Jan,
this is in
yeah.
Boston
Dig
Day,
Boston, yeah.
And
Dig
the
Boston.
Author is a guy named Jason Primus, and
yeah.
I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly,
okay.
but
yeah.
You know, speak about left of Lenin.
Yeah,
I mean, this
yeah.
guy's
he's had other, yeah, he really
this
he
guy
hates everything
off
about
the
our
charts,
government.
And he's
yeah.
totally in tight with the revolution people,
yeah.
and basically, mm-hmm. you know, if you read the language in his article, it's all about, you know, the evil billionaires and down with the
oh,
capitalists.
Oh, get rid of Mark and all those people.
Oh,
they're all a bunch of lackeys
of the capitalists, etc., etc.
Who is this person?
He's been around a good long
well,
while.
I'm gonna do a little research
yeah.
on him.
So, so I know him, you know, and I don't agree with him
What's
on
his
almost
deal?
Anything. He's a radical leftist. And so consequently, and I think this was sort of the same deal with Mike Connolly. The thing is, if you're not sufficiently mm-hmm. radical leftist, then, you know, in other words, if you're willing to do a deal that would help any large company or capitalists, you know, then you're evil. And so this
but
is
he
going
to
come
he also doesn't
down.
Like the plan. He kind of, he probably would love Alain Levy.
You know,
right?
honestly, I don't think Jason Primus had
yeah.
any opinion about Plan E.
No, he just wants
in the
him.
Past.
He
if anything, I'll bet you he loved it.
Well,
it's just that,
succeed,
right?
they may first need to run the major campaign required to change the city from a planning government to something else.
What? Yeah,
wow,
see, the something else is always entertaining
that's true.
For me.
Yeah.
So,
right.
so what are you going to do, elect
else?
A strong mayor form of government? In which case,
yeah.
unlike the way we do it. If you have a strong mayor who agrees with you, then you're thrilled. And if it's a strong mayor who disagrees with you, you're horrified.
Right. You're going to have a...
Yeah. I mean, I think a strong mayor system is a terrible system for a city of this scale. And, you know, but the thing is, it's these are opinions based on convenience, honestly. And, you know, I have to say it, you know, if this is what passes for journalism, I mean, listen, I don't
call it's an opinion piece. It's not an opinion piece,
by a person who absolutely considers himself and declares himself to be a journalist.
Well, who reads Dick? I mean, Dick Boston does have some. It is sort of
Dick Boston is more to the left.
No, I don't know. I didn't know it was this much to the left.
Other people affiliated with Dick Boston, except for a food writer who I happen to love to death.
Okay.
Right? They're pretty much off the deep end.
Are
they?
Left end
of the spectrum, you know.
Well, enough people read them, though.
Yeah. So so they basically, you know, decided to dump on Sumble Siddiqui, which I think was horribly unfair. And now, you know, who knows if it ends up hurting her? It may end up helping her because...
Well, I was reading some of the Twitter feed, and she's getting all these donations.
That's right.
Probably helped her.
Well, I mean, you listen, when a person is badly treated...
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons.
Denise Simmons, the slave amendment thing. I bet she's gotten.
So there are people who will run to their defense, you know? I mean, honestly, in a PR election, I actually remember former Mayor Ken Reeves, when it came time for election day rolling up, he would take any perceived slight and turn it into a campaign, like, they're after me.
That's interesting.
And then people would rally around him, donate
like Trump,
money,
etc. What he's doing now,
So, you know, it's part of the game. Oh. But I can assure you, Sumble Siddiqui nor Denise Simmons ever asked people to be unfair to them for a campaign strategic campaign reasons. They just were because they're jerks.
Yeah.
And, you know, so anyway, I hope this does no harm to Sumble Siddiqui because she didn't.
I think it's only going to help her.
Yeah. But it is kind of interesting watching kind of these sides taking shape, you know, and.
I could see there's going to be some upsets, though. And I hope it's not the upsets like there was in Somerville.
You know, people.
Because that scares me.
There's always a lot of, well, it scares me, too, you know.
Although they only vote one at a time. They don't do PR, so maybe.
I mean, actually, when I was kind of just sort of writing, jotting down notes for like things I might want to say, I actually wrote, what will the future council bring? And I wrote, practical solutions or pointless revolution? You know, Somerville, that's kind of what they got. Is that because they have ward systems, all it take was a few votes to sort of flip a few wards, and you ended up with some old timers. Maybe there was some dead wood, but there definitely was. But you know, rather than replace them with, you know, people who are well rooted in the areas, you basically they were trying to push the revolutionaries, and they got away with it, you know. And so I think Somerville has been putting all sorts of home rule petitions, legislation.
But their mayor though is pretty. I mean, he now is gung ho on doing a safe injection site, even though the state is probably going to challenge it. So I just read that on the news. So.
But I don't know that that's I think that's just his inclination.
Right, but
to
is
do that,
that? But are they all for that?
Because it's a strong mayor system. I don't know what their opinion about it is.
To me, that's an interesting.
But, you know,
topic.
But if the Somerville city council, formerly board of aldermen, had their way, you know, they would be the tenants' right of first refusal, they have rent control, they have all sorts of things.
But I bet they want to
get like
more.
All of those, but the thing is that they're very
they're
going to
fight for more
agenda.
Pay because they already changed their name to councilors, and they look to Cambridge all the time, even though we look to them, which is ridiculous because I think
they
make twice as much,
right? In fact,
and we have aides.
One of the Somerville city councilors is an aide to Cambridge city
councilor
Dennis
Carlone. I know, which that's a whole other story. Let's not even go there.
I don't know if it's paid enough or not, but the thing is, that's the way it is.
No.
So anyway, we'll see how it goes. I have a certain curiosity. Again, my sympathies to candidates who are being unfairly treated.
Yeah.
But I also want to see, you know, what. Not that candidate endorsements are the be-all, end-all, but, you know, Craig Kelly is, to me, one of the most level-headed, substantial city councilors we have.
You can't pin him down.
You
I don't agree with him all the time, but I do basically
I respect
him. He does his homework.
And he's his own person. He thinks
he
on his own.
He
so the thing is that so he's not catering to any of these groups.
He's
so
right
he's been endorsed by none of them, which to me strikes me as a point in his favor.
Yeah.
There are two other candidates who I thought would get the blessing of, like, the Cambridge Residents Alliance, for example. That was a new candidate, Derek Copan, who is as much of a, he's like an environmentalist supreme.
He's a little extreme though, isn't he?
I don't think he's extreme at all.
Okay, I have not been too impressed.
He supports some things I don't support, but
okay.
You know, he's a strong proponent of like bike lanes, which I don't always agree with, but the thing is he's a strong proponent. He was definitely came out on the negative side on that overlay proposal. I don't
know
why
you think he's, but he's not a socialist, so where would he fit?
No, he's not. Well, I don't know if he is or isn't, but the thing is that...
So he'd be the CRA?
But I thought that, you know, based on, you know, I thought John Pitkin and Derek Copan would get their blessing without a doubt. So I was a little curious why they wouldn't.
Maybe they just wanted to keep it to 9.
Well, that Better Cambridge is at 9.
They had 7. To submit questions, so maybe they didn't fill out something.
Well,
you don't know that.
I believe that there was no process at all with the Residents Alliance.
Oh, really?
I suspect it was just 3 or 4 people around a kitchen table deciding.
See, I don't really know. I'm not going to say it because I don't know. I know a lot of them had questions.
But there was no real process.
All right, whatever.
So I actually thought they would get the blessing. Now maybe some of these candidates or all of them will get the blessing of this emergent group, this Cambridge Citizens Coalition.
That's a
we'll
good
see.
Point.
You know, but then again, is that group going to have clout or not?
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to generate money and spend it wisely? I don't know.
Well, they are going to represent a lot of people that feel left out of these extremes. So who knows?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I find particularly annoying, just like back in the days of Cambridge Civic Association from like 1970 on or 69 on, when rent control became the defining issue, basically... if you didn't agree with their position on rent control, there was no way on earth you were going to get the blessing of the CCA.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
And so they unfortunately became kind of a single issue organization.
Yeah. So it depends. You have
detriment.
To see what happens with this one.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking at it now, and if our Revolution Cambridge basically disses somebody because of a single courthouse vote, I'm sorry, that says bad things about the organization.
Yeah.
I'll have to say the same thing on the Residents Alliance, but I'm hopeful. I mean, I think some of their candidates are great, actually. So we'll see. Anyway, we'll take a break and back in
see
a few
you
minutes
in a couple
on
minutes.
Cambridge Inside Out.